this morning for being here for this hour of worship and devotion and commitment unto God. You know, we all are a people that seek the peace of God. I don't know that we have ever lived in a time when people feel more uneasy than they do now. And their uneasiness might be attributed to a lot of things. It might be attributed to perhaps economic conditions that we find in the world. It may be attributed perhaps maybe to an unhappy marriage. It may be attributed to international conflict that is going on. But for whatever reason, and it could very well be something that is going on within our very lives as individuals, for which we do not have peace. Jesus said in the 14th chapter of the book of John, he said in verse 27, "My peace I leave with you." And in John the 16th chapter and verse 33, he said, "In me you might have peace." If I were to ask you the question this morning, would you like to have peace in your heart? I think everybody in this audience would truthfully say, if you don't have it, if you do not have it right now, that you could truthfully say that I would like to have the peace of God. Jesus came into this world with the angels announcing that he would be a peace giver. He said, "Glory to God and peace on earth, goodwill toward men." He is the giver of peace. In Psalms 29 and verse 11, David said that God should give peace unto his people. And I believe that God is one who wants us to have that peace. He said that we are to follow peace with all men. Philippians 4, verse 19. Well, how do you have the peace of God? If it is something that God wants you to have, if it is something that Jesus can give you, then I think it behooves us this morning to think about that peace and to really think about how the Lord gives it unto us. You know, you may be at war in your own life, and God wants to bring about a transformation. In the book of Romans chapter 12, Paul says, "Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Do you know that the peace of God might just be just a short distance from your life? Transformation. You know, I watch television from time to time, and I have come to the conclusion that you and I can have a makeover. Have you ever noticed that you can have flat abs? Have you ever noticed that? We can lose that extra chin that you have. You can get rid of the wrinkles with Botox. You can throw away those jeans because you just lost 7 inches. Your eyelashes can instantly grow longer. And we can have a beautiful new head of hair where that bald spot is. In fact, all of that fat can be removed with a tummy tuck. And it's not just women. Believe it or not, I read the other day where there is many men who want a transformation, a makeover, as women. I believe in transformation, but I believe in the kind that only God can give. You know, there are a number of things that you and I can do to experience the peace of God. And I hope you'll allow me to elaborate on these this morning. I had planned to get up here and tell you. Let me share with you what I really believe enables us to have the peace of God. 12 things. Number one, take a 10 to 30 minute walk every day. And as you walk, smile, because it is the ultimate antidepressant. Now you say, well, what's biblical about taking a walk? Paul the Apostle said that bodily exercise profits little, but with godliness there is great gain. Paul is not shooting down the idea of physical exercise. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches us the contrary. If God has given us this body, and this body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, then we are to keep this body in good working order. God does not want to dwell in a shack. but he wants to dwell in a body that is equipped to honor him. And so therefore, I believe in bodily exercise. I get up every morning and walk 2 miles. I do that to keep my body as best that I possibly can in working order. I'm not saying that's going to solve all the physical problems, but I can tell you one thing most assuredly, that we all need bodily exercise. And I have found that walking in the early morning is one of the greatest stress relievers of all things. It really is. And while you walk, smile. It is an ultimate antidepressant. Have you ever thought about how often Jesus walked? Jesus walked everywhere he went, except the time that we read of where he came in on the back of the beast of burden into Jerusalem to be honored by those who threw down psalms and the trees. But otherwise, Jesus walked everywhere he went. But then there's another thing, I think, that enables us to have peace. And that is we ought to sit in silence for 10 minutes every day. Talk to God about what is going on in your life. And if you have to buy a lock to keep other people away from you for just 10 minutes, do it. It is so important that you do that. The Bible in the book of Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 20 says, "The Lord is in his holy temple. Keep silence before him." The song that Dwayne led a moment ago just simply says, "Be still and know that I am God." Have you ever just really stopped and sat in silence and talked to God? Sometimes we are always, even when we pray, we are in a big rush. We are. Instead of just sitting quietly and meditating on the Word of God and then talking unto the Lord at least for 10 minutes a day. You want the peace of God? You'll find it when you do that. The Bible says in the book of Zechariah 2 and verse 13, to be silent and let all flesh be silenced before him. I like Isaiah 26 and verse 3 that says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." The peace of God. We all seek it, but sometimes the more we seek it, the more elusive it really becomes. But there's a third thing. When you wake up in the morning, complete this sentence. Let me suggest you do this tomorrow. Complete this following statement. My purpose in life is to whatever. And I am thankful for whatever. The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says, "To everything there is a purpose under heaven. And there is a time and purpose for all things." Have you ever considered, what is my purpose in this world? Is my purpose to make a lot of money? Or is my purpose to honor God? Is my purpose to have a pleasurable life, or is my purpose to reach lost souls for Jesus? What is your purpose in life? And for what are you thankful? But then number four, try to make at least three people smile today. Just three. You know, a smile is so important, someone said. It happens in a flash, and the memory of it sometimes lasts forever. It costs nothing, but it creates much. It enriches those who receive it without impoverishing those who give it. A smile cannot be bought, begged, borrowed, or stolen. For it is something that is of no earthly value unless you give it away. But it's important. You know, we make a lot of people frown. We make a lot of people mad in life. But why not seek to make them happy? Why not seek to make people smile in life? You know what? When I think of the life of Jesus Christ, I see him as one who endeavored to do that. And be thankful. The Bible says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." But then number five, don't waste your precious energy on gossip, energy vampires, if you will, issues of the past, negative thoughts on things over which you have no control. Instead, invest your energy on things that are positive and constructive. You know, so many people live in the past and they dwell on all the bad things that have ever happened to them. And you know what? Most of us are our own worst enemy. If the truth were really known, we become our own enemy. We do. And we have to take responsibility for our own actions. Blaming the family. Blaming your mother's nursing habits. Blaming someone else for how you feel and how you think and how you act is an act of irrationality, folks. Some people say, well, you know, my circumstances just have me down. You know what? Your circumstances don't have you down. Your thought process has you down. And when you think on the negative things of the world instead of thinking on the things that are positive and constructive, listen, you'll never have peace. You'll never have peace until you think on God and things that are holy and things that are high. You cannot blame other people. The blame game. A lot of people try it. It doesn't work. Why not go through life trying to be someone who is positive and motivational with people around them? Someone asked me the other day, they said, well, what do you think I can do? Let me share with you a number of things that I think that you can do. Shake a hand. Give a hug. Give a compliment. Pat a shoulder. Make a phone call. Visit a hospital. Go to a nursing home. Press on in spite of personal difficulties. Pray for someone and then let them know that you're praying for them. Say, I'll check on you later, and then do it. Be a good example. Send a birthday card. Teach a Bible class. Invite a friend to worship. Defend the integrity of the innocent person. Clip useful articles and save them for a friend. Attend a child's ball game. Repeat a compliment to a person about whom it was said. Thank a teacher. Attend a graduation ceremony. Play catch with a child. Give a positive feedback in Bible class. Take notes during a sermon. Buy someone's lunch. Give a Bible as a gift. Really listen to someone. Babysit for a young couple. Compliment parents on the behavior of their children. Introduce yourself to someone you do not know. And visit a grieving friend. You will find, folks, that the elders don't have to give you something to do. You will find that there is plenty to be done if we really want to serve God and other people. And let me tell you something, that is where you will find the peace of God. You will. Some people are so sour on life. They are. And some people will hold on to things that have happened to them in the past, and they never will forget it. I read the other day of a woman who testified to the transformation of her own life. She began to talk about how transformed she was in her life, and she said it had resulted through her experience in conversion. And here's what she said. She declared, I'm so glad I got religion. She said, I have an uncle I used to hate so much that I would vow that I would never go to his funeral. And she said, now I am happy to go anytime. Well, believe it or not, there are people like that. Sometimes people are unhappy in their marriage, and because they are so negative, and because they think on the bad things and the horrible things of their mate, instead of thinking about the good things of their mate. And that's an awful thing. It is. One man said to another, he said, you know what? My wife is so touchy. The smallest thing will set her off. And the other fellow said, that's nothing. He said, mine's a self-starter. Well, you may know people like that too. We have to be positive. We have to be motivational if we're going to find the peace of God. That brings us to number 6. Life is too short to waste time hating anyone. You ever hate anybody? I mean, really hate them? I know people that hate people. And they just go through their life hating people. And you know what? Hatred does more to the vessel in which it is stored than the one on whom it is poured. And people hate others. They do. They don't like to they camouflage it by saying, I just don't like him. I dislike her. But sometimes down deep inside, it's real hatred that they have for the other person. But life is too short. That's why David said in Psalms chapter 90, teach me to number my days, dear Lord, that I may apply my heart unto wisdom. For Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. And it is not going to rule where hatred exists. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, the Bible says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor be put away from you with all malice. All of it. Get rid of it, he says. Paul in the Colossian letter says we're to mortify the deeds of the body. These things that can destroy us, get rid of them. Because you will not have the peace of God. And I dare say, folks, I'm going to tell you the truth this morning. If you don't have the peace of God, there is no way that you can live the life of a Christian. None. Let me tell you another thing. Number 7. You want the peace of God? You are not so important that you have to win the argument every time. Just simply agree to disagree. Agree to disagree. Sometimes that's hard for people to do, but it is something that we have to do. I heard about a man and a woman one time who were in a real debate. They were in a heated argument. And the woman said, she said, honey, I'll tell you what, I will admit that I am wrong if you say that I was right. And he said, okay. She said, okay, well, I'm wrong. And he said, you're right. Well, believe it or not, there are some people that feel they have to win the argument every time. I mean, they're not going to walk away agreeing to disagree, but they have got to be right. You don't know who I am. You don't know who I am. I've got to be right. And there are a lot of folks like that, and they get upset and bent out of shape if they don't get their way. You don't have to win the argument every time. But then number 8, don't compare yourself or your life to other people. You have no idea what their journey is all about. Sometimes people say of other people, well, you know what? I'd be faithful too if I had all the blessings that you have. You know, with blessing comes responsibility. And a lot of times people never see down deep in your life all the struggles that you're facing every day. Sometimes people think that the journey of another is without speed bumps and without hills to climb. And it's not true. Don't compare yourself to the life of others. You'll never find peace that way. But then number 9. No one is in charge of your happiness and your peace but you. You know, it gets me sometimes. And sometimes people say, make me happy. You ever been around people like that? Sometimes kids get that idea that parents ought to make them happy. Make me happy. See that bumper sticker on the back of cars, you know, driving down the highway. It says, are we happy yet? No one is in charge of your happiness and your peace but you. And Abraham Lincoln, the great statesman, once said that a man is about as happy as he makes up his mind to be. And if you're unhappy this morning, folks, you know who? Look, go look in the mirror. You'll find the culprit. If you have no peace this morning, I can tell you where you lost it and where you can find it. But then number 10, frame every so-called disaster with these words, in 5 years, will this really matter? Have you ever noticed that, how upset we get over so many little trivial and mundane things? And I mean, in a few days we've forgotten it. We look back and say, man, why was I so upset about that? People get upset about so many little things. We do. We need to frame those disasters and remember that in a few days, months, I won't even remember this. Job said it this way in the book of Job, chapter 11, beginning at verse 13. He said, if thou prepare thine heart and stretch out thy hands toward him, that is to God, he said, if iniquity be in thy heart, put it away from thee, and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles. For then thou shalt lift up thy face without spot, yea, thou shalt be steadfast, and thou shalt not fear, because thou shalt forget thy misery and remember it as waters that pass away. As water that passes away, and it does pass very quickly. It does. We just have to remember that. Things don't always go as we expect them in life. I don't know if you've noticed that or not much in your life, but I find that to be true in mine. You make plans. Sometimes those plans go awry. It's almost without exception. And Audrey and I have learned to adjust to this and deal with it. Whether I'm off in a gospel meeting or on vacation, which we've not taken in 3 years, but we get a call to come back and preach a funeral for someone who has died. And that happens. I understand that. That's part of being a minister of the gospel of Jesus. That's part of life, folks. I don't lament that. I don't let that get me down. I don't let it destroy me, destroy my day, and say, oh, me. I don't wallow in self-pity all the time. I've learned to accept it. Sometimes things happen. I read the story about John Gilmartin, who told about his own life. He said, as a teenager, smart aleck, he said, I often thought I was above the laws of God, man, and physics. He said, one night, two friends and I took the 1940 Cadillac of a friend's father for a joyride. He said, in other words, we stole the car. Both of my buddies had driven before, even though they, like me, were only 14. But I had not, and this car needed coordination between the clutch, brake, and the accelerator pedals. You know the one I'm talking about. As well as reach out and search for the shift lever. I guess I did pretty well when it was my turn to drive. At least I drove this mobile weapon 3 blocks, even if it was entirely in first gear. Unfortunately, the front room of a lovely couple's home stopped me before I heard anyone. I didn't stay for introductions. Running for my life, I headed for the woods, leaping over a railing of a municipal stairway. I glimpsed at a large bush in front of me and leaped for its sanctuary. Unfortunately, the bush was growing out on the ledge of an embankment. The ground I assumed was there was not. After a few seconds of aerobics, and he says, and 40 feet of empty air, I hit the ground in a heap. As you can see, I live, but that's another story. You know, things are not always as they seem sometimes. And I'm going to tell you something. You'll have ups and downs. You'll have hills to climb. You'll have bumps in the road. But we just have to frame those like Job says. They'll be forgotten after a period of time. And then each night, number 11, when you go to bed, complete the following statement. I'm thankful for whatever today again. For today I accomplished whatever it happens to be. And you know, that should be the aspiration of all of us. And I'm truly saying this from the heart. I think that when we feel that we've accomplished something, it is that very thing that brings us peace. Today I was able to get this done. You know, we ought to think about that every day. What do I really want to accomplish today? And then do it. Sometimes our guilt And the lack of peace comes from not accomplishing what we know that we set out to accomplish and what we needed to do. And then number 12, remember, you are too blessed to be stressed. You are. And you know what? We all recognize that. We always say that. Have you ever thought about it? Every prayer begins this way, doesn't it? Dear God, thank you for all of your blessings. Without exception, when people pray, generally that's the way they start their prayer. Dear God, thank you for all your blessings. You know why? Because we know we're blessed. And we are too blessed to be stressed in life. Fanny Crosby was one of the great hymn writers of all time. Probably no one was more prolific than her. She probably wrote more songs in our songbook than any other author in our book. You may not know about her life. It would have been very easy for her not to experience the peace of God, but she did. Her name, Frances Jane Crosby, born on March the 24th in the year 1820. She and I shared the same birthday, by the way, and passed away in 1915, was one of the most prolific hymnists in history ever. Though blinded by an incompetent doctor at the age of 6 weeks, think about it, she wrote over 8,000 hymns, many of which are in our hymnal. Her father died when she was only a year old, so she was raised by her mother and her grandmother. They grounded Fanny in Christian principles, helping her memorize long passages of Scripture from the Bible. She had committed to memory, believe it or not, the first four books of the Old Testament. Can you imagine? And the four Gospels before she was 10 years old. She began composing poetry at an early age, including this verse about her own disability, written when she was 8 years old. Oh, what a happy soul I am, although I cannot see. I am resolved in this world, contented I will be. At age 15, she enrolled in the New York School for the Blind. In 1847, returned to the school that year as a teacher. And in 1858, she married Alexander Van Alstine, a fellow teacher who was also blind. They had only one daughter who died in infancy. Fanny often said, "When I get to heaven, the first face that I shall ever look upon and will gladden my heart will be that of my Savior." She maintained this optimistic outlook all of her life, and in her later life wrote this about her condition. She said, "If perfect earthly sight were offered to me tomorrow," she said, "I would not accept it. I might not have sung hymns to the praise of God if I had been distracted by the beautiful and interesting things about me." During her lifetime, Fanny Crosby was one of the best-known women in the United States of America. She had the honor of being the first woman whose voice was heard publicly in the U.S. Senate chamber when she was invited to read aloud one of her poems there. To this day, most American hymnals contain her work. Some of her best-known songs include Praise Him, and To God Be the Glory. And when she died, her tombstone was engraved with the opening lines of one of her most beloved hymns. It is the song that we shall sing this morning as our invitation hymn. Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. And this morning, if you have lost your peace, God stands ready to give it to you for the asking. And if you believe that as a Christian, then would you come this morning to seek it? And if you're not a child of God, a Christian this morning, you can be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus shed his blood for you that peace might be your blessing from him. And you can do that this morning by acknowledging him as Lord and Savior, and through a penitent heart, be baptized this morning for the remission of your sins. Do you have that blessed assurance that Fanny Crosby had? I hope this morning, if you have it, would you sing about it and encourage other people to have it while we stand and while we sing.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine.
A little that just went up this last week, went to work on